Thank you, God, for this day that you have given us to come before you and worship you, God. It might have not been perfect, but it was all for you, God, and you know what's on our heart, and that it'll be, that worship would just be about the heart, God, not about what we sound like, but what we're singing to you, and that we mean it wholeheartedly, God, that we may listen to the words that are about to be spoken, God, and that we would pay attention and give all the praise and honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Potter's Hands Ministries. It's great to see some of you who have not been here in a while and our regulars that are here. So praise the Lord. It's such a privilege to be able to know Him and serve Him and do anything for Him. So you're in for a bit of a surprise today, just because I have some inside knowledge of a little bit of what the service is about today. So praise the Lord. I want to cover a couple of announcements. Arlene, is there anything going on today that you need to share about? It's not today? Okay. Okay. Is there any other announcements that you're aware of?
There is a newsletter. There is two special events on
November. Thanks, Colleen. There's a new bulletin out. Get the bulletin if you haven't. Yeah, praise God. I'm just going to open up the mic a little bit for some testimony time. There's lots of us here that are involved in different ministries. You have ministries of your own, and we haven't opened the mic for a couple of weeks. So if you feel led to share, we're going to give you an opportunity right now to do that before Cheryl comes and shares her testimony, who's going to be doing that in a little bit. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So we need to testify, and we need to share what he's doing and let our brothers and sisters know, because it encourages us. And for those who don't know Christ that might be here, it lets them know of what God's doing in other circles. So you're being pointed at for some reason. Do you have a testimony? You're the first up. Okay.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know, a lot of people were gone last weekend after my friend Pastor George spoke, but he was just about to leave, and I think Frank met him at the door, and, you know, he's just had a hip replacement. It's really hurting still. So Frank had him come back and sit down in a chair out there, and Terry and I were there. And Frank just started praying for George and commanded healing, and I saw George's right leg grow out. Like, wow, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. God still, you know, God still heals today. He hasn't changed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for healing Pastor George. You're an awesome, faithful, loving God. We just thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thanks, Doug. Sometimes in life, we find ourselves in a place we were never expecting to be. And sometimes we are over the line, so to speak, and in a place that we never planned on. And it's in those times, if you're going through a valley, the answer is Jesus. The answer is to continue to praise him and to continue doing what he told you to do. Don't make any major life decisions until he brings you back. So several of us are in those places. We're going through stuff. Don't be afraid to reach out to your brothers and sisters here before you leave. If there's deliverance or healing or things you need to believe God for, don't leave. There's mature Christians that are here. Believe in God, you know, with you for that. So are we excelling in love is one of the things that's really been in my heart. And excelling in love towards our brothers and sisters. And that's what we're called to do. We're to be known by our love for one another. So that's just been on my heart. Who else has something awesome that God has been doing or is going through something that you want prayer for or something like that?
Brother Chad, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. I've got a testimony like similar to a lot of people. I'll turn around. You know, I was drinking out of the same bottle that an atheist was one time, and he asked me, "Stephen, do you think there's a God?" And I said, "Of course there's a God, Philip, you idiot. He's my brother. I can get away with things, saying things like that." Later on, 10 years later, almost to the day, this brother introduced me to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I drank out of the same bottle professing Christ. And then this atheist came back into my life. I saw him. His hair was cut. He looked a little different. His wife looked a little different. He talked a little different. He didn't do the things he used to do. And I thought, Philip, interesting. And he witnesses Holy Ghost, Jesus, deliverance. And guess what? Here I stand. Thank you, Philip. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. That was good. Who else? There's a second mic. Alvin, I'll beat you to it.
Good morning. Okay. The Lord has been doing a lot of house cleaning in my soul, my mind, my emotions, and my will. Something about what Chad said, they will know us by our love. I could not love my family because I was afraid of them. I was holding such bitterness. And then it took me on such a journey of residential school trauma, child welfare trauma, family trauma in itself. And throughout all that pain, the Lord has bottled every tear that I've cried through, every trauma that I've gone through. And I still could not get to that point of love because I needed to forgive. But in order to forgive, I needed to love because Jesus died for each and every one of us because he loves us. However, I did not have that love in me to forgive a family that had supposed to love me but didn't because all they did was hurt me. So what I'm doing now is surrendering and my pride because pride is a killer. Pride is a killer. And I had to look at deep into my soul and to let God work out what was in there and admit it to him and be transparent to him, and then he can give me what I need to give to others. If I have hate and bitterness and anger in my soul, I cannot love. So in order to get love, he had to take out what was in me. And I thank him for that. He does that to each and every one of us in his own timing and in his own way. And when something happens, and if we're looking to somebody else and blaming them for something that we see in them, maybe we should take a good look in the mirror and see what's in us.
Amen.
Amen. And God bless you all.
That was good. Arlene, do you mind sharing a little bit of what's been going on in the kitchen? Oh, Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, I have this personal problem, and I know I got to give it to God, but it's value. It's worthwhile. It's worthiness, and I know I don't have it, but I know who does, and who keeps talking to my heart. I never wanted a fleshy heart. I never wanted to feel. I never wanted all this weakness. But it's in this weakness that he lifts me up. And it's because it's not because of me. I just keep struggling, but he is encouraging. And he's always there. Even when I don't think he is, he's a surprising Lord. Yes, I love you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Curious on the kitchen. Potter's Hands Ministries was started because a group of people started feeding people. So I've heard you've had a rise in the amount of people at the kitchen. And any idea on numbers of how many people you've been feeding down there?
Lunches and breakfast is about 80 to 90 in the morning. And suppers on Tuesdays can run up to 180 people.
We've had some healing as well that has come through the art center with Gertie caring for one of the guys that been on the streets and then has come into the kitchen and he's helping out and just being a good guy. And it's just great to see that. If you guys want to come down and help out, more than welcome to. I don't know. We have fun.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? What's God been doing? What's God been sharing? There's one here. You're going to be there, I know, so.
As a lot of you know, we work with Kids in Action through Hope Mission. And I just would like to share with you an answer to prayer that we had. The first day we were at Normando School, which is the only school we're allowed to take the Bibles into and actually do a Bible story. And so it's quite a powerful group that we run. And we asked the kids to bow their heads in prayer. And one young boy in grade 5 just got up and stormed out. He refused. He just wanted nothing to do with it. His heart was just completely hardened. And it broke our hearts. And so throughout that week, we prayed for him in the war room again and again. Then the next week, he came in again. He showed up again. So we just gave the glory to God, and he participated a little bit, and he was still quite uneasy. But then the next week, we prayed again, and he came back the third week. And not only did he participate with a great big smile on his face, having laughs and joy, he sang the songs about Jesus, and he said amen at the end of the prayer. And God is just doing miraculous things with these kids, and in our building.
Yes.
So another answer to prayer, we have a young man in our building who has been dealing, and we've been praying, both Ruth Ann and I, and Brittany as well from the KI team, and we've just been praying for God to change his heart. And God created a divine appointment yesterday for me to run into him, and we got to talking, and he confessed that he just wants to get out. He got beat up. He wants out. And he was wearing a crucifix around his neck. And I said, well, is that for fashion or for faith? He said, well, neither. My grandmother gave it to me. So we know there's roots. There's roots for faith in his life. And that God is going to work through that. So he asked me to care for it for him. He gave it to me to hold on to it until he can clean himself up and get himself right. So we will continue to pray because prayer is powerful and God is amazing and can do all things.
I got a bruised hand. The nurse yesterday who put the intravenous in my hand really had a problem. She said, yes, I can see the veins, but they keep rolling. So she had quite a time. All I wanted to say is, when I come to this place, I sense the presence. My feet get hot, and I got to dance. And King David danced for the Lord, so I feel I'm in good company when King David did too. So I just want to explain to you that the closer you get to him, the more he will reveal himself. Amen. And every time I get a word in here and he's calling, he's constantly telling me, call the people, Donald, call the people. He's amongst you. And most of you have him inside your heart, the Holy Ghost. So just worship him and talk to him. And Paul says, pray without ceasing. So when you're working, when you're doing the dishes, when you're doing this, you're cutting the lawn, yes. Talk to him. Yes. Talk to him. He's crying. He's standing there and he's got tears because he wants to communicate with his children. He wants to have an intimate relationship with you. He's done it all. All the sins are gone. Everything is washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. The cross, every time I pray, I see the cross. I cannot get away from the cross, which I don't want to. But that's all I want to pray about is the cross. Don't forget, he did more than just took your sins away. He, by the blood, made you right standing with God. You're no longer... You are no longer, praise God, you are no longer under condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So when sin comes over you, remember, we will sin, just say, thank you, Jesus, for taking that sin. Because you don't have to confess them again. He took them to the cross. They're all past, present, future. When he hung on the cross, we were all future. I don't know a 2,000-year-old man or woman alive today. But it's always future. And so remember, they're all forgiven. They're all forgiven by the blood. By the blood. The blood is powerful. If we don't have the blood, we got sweet tweet. We're still in our sins without the blood. So I want to thank you for listening to me. And I want to thank you, Jesus Christ. When I come in the doors here, you are with us immediately. I feel your presence right now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We got time for one more.
I have two of them, actually, but I'll make them really quick. Last Sunday, I was here, and Sam and Jason prayed over me, and I was in tears. I couldn't speak. I couldn't tell them what I needed prayer for, but they just prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to show them, and they pretty much nailed what it was that I was dealing with, and one of them was finances. And so they finished praying for me, and I went to the bathroom to clean up and wash my face, and I came out of the bathroom, and somebody was standing there, and I'm not going to say who, doesn't matter, but he says, hey, girl, come over here. So I went over. He says, how you doing? I said, good. He goes, what do you need? I said, I don't need anything. I'm okay. He says, well, you know, do you need prayer for something? I said, well, I've had prayer a couple times already today. I think I'm, you know, it's good. He goes, well, he says, you can't, you know, you need some money. I couldn't believe the fact that from the front of the church to the back of the church, God had answered my prayer. He reached into his wallet and gave me $100. yeah. And my second one is this week. For a long time, I've needed to, and I know this sounds silly, but when you live on disability and you don't have a whole lot, it's hard to get the little things done. And I've needed my hair cut for quite a while. I was cutting my bangs myself for years. I haven't been in a salon in probably 10 years. But I do bottle picking and stuff like that. So between the money that I received and my bottle picking, I decided I was going to go and get my hair cut at Marvell College for $15. So I went in there, and I really, in my heart, I really wanted streaks done too. I knew I couldn't really afford it, but it was on my mind. And sure enough, they had the foils on sale. And so I decided to get a few of them, just something a little extra that didn't cost that much. And so while we were waiting for those to set, I went outside to have a cigarette, and the girl that was working on my hair, who was a student at Marvell, came out, and she said, if money wasn't an option, would you like to get the rest of your hair colored? I said, yeah, I'd love that. So I went back in, and she did the rest of the color and everything, and I'm still thinking I'm going to pay for my haircut and the foils, and they would pay for the rest of the dye. Well, I went to pay for it, and she said, no. She said, the MC fairy paid for it for you. The whole thing was free.
I guess this is on. Everybody hear me now? It's last 9.5 years has been an amazing journey. 8 of them with my wife, Eleanor, who's 9 years sober today. We got up this morning, and you know, I can't believe the change in our lives. You can ask my son, Jason. You know, man, I was self-centered, along with a whole bunch of other things. I can't imagine I couldn't have imagined the journey that I'm on, you know. Every day getting calls from people who want to know and want to meet Jesus. Getting to go down to the soup kitchens and do music and praise God and visit with my homeless friends. And boy, I can't believe the change, you know. And that heart that was stone just became flesh. And I'm really grateful that when I was broken and no one really wanted a whole lot to do with me, including myself, that there were people here who spoke into my life, and Stan was one of the first. Yes. The love, the acceptance was unbelievable. I couldn't have said anything other than God wanted me to be a part of that, to be healed. And that's amazing. I can't remember one day of this whole journey where God hasn't met me absolutely with his presence just as strong as if I was talking to another person across from me. And all he asked me to do is meet with him every morning. You know, how simple can it get? Meet with him every morning. Thank you. And, you know, I just praise God for Eleanor's life. I can't imagine having to put up with me. she's amazing. She's full of grace, full of love, and I'm just thankful for that.
Can you hold it for next weekend? Praise the Lord.
Hi, everybody. But this year, I have to go really fast. I'm going to try. So I'm just going to give you a little bit of history about who I am and where I come from. We're from Regina. And my parents, interesting couple, my dad was a World War II vet, and my mom was residential school for 10 years. So both of them were very depressed people. I would say my dad was an anxious man because he had PTSD, and my mother went through bouts of really dark times in her life. So there were six of us in the family, and I was the baby. I was like the little forgotten one. My first encounter with Jesus, I was about 7 years old, and it was Christmas Eve, and my siblings didn't have any ketchup for supper, and they were mad. So send that one to the store. That's how it was. I was always the one, the gopher. I remember my mom giving me money, and she said, go. And I was kind of scared because it was getting dark, and there was nobody on the streets. This was like 60s, right? So I'm running along. I had a very long block to go, and I'm going up and down the snowbanks as fast as I can. And it was like I heard somebody call my name, and it was strange. I didn't hear it audibly, but I heard it internally. And I looked towards the northern sky, and I could feel him. I didn't know it was him, but I could feel him. Now I know who that was. And I went, ooh, that is, what a feeling I had. I felt like I was a little taller. And I wasn't so short anymore. So, you know, I didn't feel so bad about running to the store and getting them their ketchup. And I came home, and I just had a different feeling that night. And I can still remember that day as clear as a bell right now. And that was a long time ago. When I was 13, I got a Gideon Bible. And I read it from cover to cover. And I said the prayer in the back, and I gave my life to Jesus. And that was 43 years ago. Now, did I stay in the Lord? No. I think the Lord came close to me. I could feel his presence now and then because I feel him in me. I feel his presence. I don't really see things, but I feel. And I could feel him off and on throughout my teen years, but that didn't keep me from, you know, doing what teenagers sometimes do.
as you know, everyone predicts, teenagers are going to be bad. I was a little bit bad, but not too bad, because every time I got into things, I felt funny. I felt like I was, you shouldn't be doing this. It was like a voice that was saying, you shouldn't be there. You don't fit in this group. You shouldn't be doing this. So, you know, there you are trying to do your thing, and you're feeling really bad, and everyone else seems to be having such a grand time, but you're not really having that great of a time. But then I had a daughter when I was 18, and her father was unfit, and he just couldn't stick it out. So he just left us, and there I was with this little girl, and because I was so scared, I didn't know how to raise her. I was a child with a child. So at 22 years of age, knowing this little girl's getting bigger and she's going to start asking questions, I wanted to raise her better than I had. So I went to church. I went to the Salvation Army Church, and at 22 years old, I came back to the Lord. I really felt like I had come back. And I came back, and I came back for good. I never again went down all those nasty paths that I had gone before, because this time I had a body of support. My mother had gotten saved shortly around that time. My sister got saved. So there was a mini revival going on in that church that we had attended. But then the dark night of the soul came, and I got sick. Probably within about a year, I got sick. I became a type 2 diabetic. At such a young age, they couldn't believe it. And then not even 6 months later, I had mononucleosis, and I was sick for another 4 months. It was just an entire year of illness. But in that, I felt God close to me, and just every time I'd be laying in bed, moaning and groaning, not feeling well, I could feel his presence with me. I did a lot of praying because I was looking up all the time. I loved his word. I was crazy about the word. I used to sleep with my Bible every night, and then it would fall out of bed and hit the floor, and my mother would come running in thinking if something happened to me. It was just my Bible, and then the covers broke off. And so I just got more and more in love with Jesus, and then it came to a point where I wasn't satisfied. There was something going on. So this friend invited me to a men's full gospel. Oh, I got so messed up there. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was so messed up. I went home, I was speaking in tongues all night. I couldn't sleep. I tried, oh, God. You know, I was just on fire for him. So I go to church, and I'm worshiping the Lord, and I'm, you know, just free. And the pastor called me aside after and said, you better settle down. You know, waving your hands in the air is emotional. Really? Well, you are supposed to worship him with everything you have, right? And I said to him, I'm sorry. I actually can't help this. I said, and I told him what happened to me, and he just looked at me like I was crazy. It's okay. Fine, whatever. So then, you know, I used to see things in the spirit before I got saved, but they weren't good things. I used to see a lot of demonic activity, and I never saw, well, I just saw a lot of it. I could see it in my house, I could see it in my family, and it was disturbing. And then after I got saved, I began to see God moving in places, and it was wonderful. But I could also see demonic activity, but it was a different way. It didn't frighten me at all. And I remember one Sunday at church, I saw this demon sitting up in the, there was like a skylight, and he was sitting up there, and he was looking down on the congregation, and he was laughing his head off at everybody. And there was a lot of sick and unhealthy people in the church. There was just a lot of fleshy weakness. People were weak. And I said to the pastor, I said, there's a demon up there, and he's laughing at you. And so he laughed at me again. And you know what? He went up to the front, and no offense to pastors, but this does happen. When you have the prophetic gift, it's not easy. He went up to the front, and he humiliated me in front of the congregation. He said, Cheryl sees a demon, so I guess we better pray. So he prayed this little lame prayer, and that demon was still sitting there laughing at him. And I went, oh, Jesus, they don't get it. They don't get it. So that kind of turned me off of that place in a way, because I thought, you know what, I can't grow here. So I left. I went to a church that was a little bit radical and on love, you know, in love for Jesus. And that's where I met my husband, in a radical church. I thought they were radical because they were actually free to worship. You know, there was people dancing and shouting and all kinds of stuff was going on. It was a wonderful place. And that's where I met Ted, and we got married in 1990 after that, and it's been awesome. I saw him, and I loved him. I loved him. And it's been glorious. We've had our times, trust me. But we have a good marriage. We really do. The Lord just anointed that marriage, and it was wonderful. And my husband looked at me, and he said, you have to be able to, you have to do better than this. God has an anointing on you. You can't be doing what you're doing. I was a clerk at SGI. I was so bored, it wasn't even funny. So he encouraged me to go to university, and I became a teacher. And that was good. That was good.
Yes.
And then we had our first daughter when I was about a year and a half after we were married. And what was so cool is just after Rebecca was born, this music group from the Langley Vineyard Church, they called their concert Cross Canada. And I don't know if any of you went to that. It was in the early 90s. So our pastor at our church was all excited about this. So away we went to this two-night concert. And we were so wrecked for Jesus after that. I had never in my life worshiped God in an environment that was so, like, it was amazing. I don't even have words. The wind of the Holy Ghost was blowing through the room. And one of the guy got up, I never forget, Brian Dorkson got up, and he says, the air conditioning is not on. He said, that's the Holy Spirit. And you could just feel the wind. Because it's about 80 degrees outside. We should have been sweltering, but we weren't. So two nights of worship, we were wrecked again. Our church started to get revived. We started seeing people getting saved every Sunday. And this tiny little prophet lady came. I don't know. I think she came from Texas or something. I don't even remember her name. And she was so full of fire and dynamite. She'd dance up and down. And she had words for people. And so, you know, I don't remember if she called me up or what she did. But I remember her laying hands on me. And she told me about myself. And she was right on. And then she said, you, prophetess, you're going to go to this place of dry bones, and you're going to blow that silver trumpet, and you're going to blow life into those dead bones. And I'm like, oh, God, does that mean I have to move? And I wasn't happy to receive that prophecy because I knew I was moving, and I couldn't imagine leaving my family. It was scary. So, you know, we were just loving the Lord at that place and having a grand time. And then a missionary came from northern Saskatchewan, and I looked at him and I thought, no. No, I knew. I just knew. I avoided him all through the service. I went downstairs to go check on my baby, and guess who was in the nursery? Him, with his kids. He says, yeah, I've been waiting to talk to you. Why? I knew. And so he invited us to go to Sandy Bay, which is at the end of the road in northern Saskatchewan, on the Peter Ballantyne First Nation. So we went, and, you know, it's, to the eyes, it's a disaster. Poverty like you've never seen. And I was just so enthralled with that place. So was Ted. So we went back home. We didn't make any commitment. One morning, Ted was reading scripture. Mark 4:17. And Ted was reading it, and then I remember him saying, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And we just stopped, and we looked at each other, and we started to weep, because we knew that was it. That you got to go. So in a month, we were gone. I mean, we just packed up. We said, we're going. We didn't have any money. I was just, we're crazy. We were just crazy for Jesus. We just wanted to follow him. We wanted to do what he wanted us to do. We were so in love. And so we went, and I had no job. I had a teaching degree, no job. They didn't need teachers there, by the way. So I called the local college, and I said, if you need a sub, call me. Otherwise, I have no idea what we're going to live on. You know, we had this little girl, and Ted figured he'd chop wood for a living or something. I was there one day. The college called me and said, the teacher's sick. We need you. Okay. I went racing down there. It was probably about minus 35 in November already. My hair was frozen when I got there because I didn't have a chance to dry it. And I went in and she said, okay, so here's the curriculum. Here's the students. Hello, hello. This is how you work the photocopier. And here's the phone numbers. I have to go. I'm really sick. I never saw her again. I got her job. Like she, not that God made her sick, but he just had to move her out. And you know what? She decided not to come back. So I got her job. So then there I was, a teacher. And we had some wonderful times up there. We helped the pastor a lot. We ministered to the believers. And we probably had more people at our Wednesday night soaking, worshiping time than they had in the church. And then the jealousy started, sadly. And to make a long story short, we disagreed with some of the things that was going on, and so we were asked to leave. And so we said, okay. It was the first time we ever got booted out, so it was, you know, practice, I guess, for the future. Anyhow. So we left. We loved the Lord. Yes. We still worshipped him in our home, just like we did. We never stopped loving him. Then I just had to have another baby. The biological clock was ticking. The Holy Spirit was speaking. So at 36, I had another baby. And there she is. Praise the Lord. Victoria nearly died twice of SIDS, if you can imagine that. But here she is. Glory to God. Then from Sandy Bay, which is in the Peter Ballantyne Band, we moved to Lac La Ronge, which is the Lac La Ronge Indian Band. And I had no job there, but that was okay. We didn't care. We were just moving for Jesus. And we got involved in the local church, and it was great. God was moving in Toronto. We went to Toronto a few times, stepped into the river over there. Oh, man, God have mercy. I had such a wonderful time. I didn't know that my father had deep wounds in my heart from the things he did, because I love my dad. I thought he was a good man. He was a hardworking man. But he was so caught up in his work, he had no time for me. And when I went to Toronto, I was like excited. Oh, boy, we're just going to have a great 5 days of dancing and shouting. And no, I was on the floor broken, weeping, sobbing. You know, Ted would look at me and go, are you okay? Because I wasn't okay. I was in a mess. Before I went there, I had some kind of something wrong with my thyroid, and my hair was falling out in the handfuls. And I remember laying on the floor in one of their soaking rooms there, just crying out to God, and all of a sudden my head started tingling. And I started to feel in my head, and I could feel all these little tiny bristles. My hair was coming back as I was laying there, and I remember saying to Ted, are you touching my head? Because he was beside me. He said, no. And I said, it feels like somebody's massaging my head. And my whole head started like being massaged by the Holy Ghost. My hair started growing back, and I never had that problem since. So praise the Lord, you know, and then after that, we were just crazy, man. We went to Redding, California. We were so hungry. We wanted more. And we wanted our daughter to speak, because at 4 and a half, she was like a screaming little Helen Keller. No, I couldn't handle her anymore, you know, screaming and yelling and bad. And so we took her. We went to Redding. I got prophesied over there again. The pastor wasn't there. I was really disappointed, Bill Johnson. Instead, Chris Valaton was there, and he's the prophet of the church. And I thought, okay, we'll see what you can do. I don't know. I was disappointed. So we went up for prayer, and he came up, and he looked at me, and he started laughing. And I thought, oh, boy, these crazy Christians. Anyway, okay, You know, the move of the Spirit was big at that time. There was revivals breaking out all over. So I just wanted to go jump in one and get all bathed in the Spirit. And then he came back at me with such a fury. And he said to me, "You prophet of God, why are you not prophesying? Are you scared to open your mouth?" And I went, "Yeah." I've opened my mouth a few times and got out or rejected. Prophets don't like, we get rejected a lot. It's get used to that if you're prophetic. And he said to me, "You have to prophesy anyway." Okay, I hear you. And so he ministered to us. It was glorious. It was wonderful. And then we went from there to Spokane. We are from Redding to Spokane. And that's where Victoria got healed. And she was singing to the Lord on the way back to Canada. Wow. And all this time, we were ministering to the poor and the needy up there. We had a big truck, like a ton. I think it was a 3/4-ton truck, extended cab. And we bought that so that we could haul food up to the north, food and clothes, and then we'd have these big giveaways. We'd rent a hall on reserve, and then we'd have these giveaways. And we did lots of those, maybe, I don't know, sometimes up to 3 a year, and we'd cook hot dogs, and it was just him and I. Sometimes people would join us, and sometimes they wouldn't. Because when we were kicked out of that church, they sent a letter around saying, "Don't hang around those people." So we were alone in a lot of the things we did. But you know what? We just kept going for Jesus because we loved him. We didn't care what man said. And you know what? I didn't care anymore. If somebody said, "Get out," well, I'll just go start it somewhere else, thank you. And we did. We started a home church. We started ministering to a lot of the native people. Ted was able to grow a few of them up because that's his job. Right? That's what he did. He grew up a lot of men up there. One of them, he basically picked off the street. He was such an alcoholic. He was a hopeless alcoholic. He had lumps all over his face. Now that man is known as the preacher of the Muskeg, John Byrd. And that's because Ted isn't afraid to get close to people who are in pain like that. He's not afraid. He just keeps loving people. No matter how much they hate him, they push him away. He just is steady. He's a pillar. And that's the kind of man he is. And all along, we had a mentor. Her name was Pastor Jerry Carroll of Souls Harbor Mission House. And she was supporting us all along. And we had somehow got connected with the John G. Lake Ministries in the States. And she invited them up to do the healing technician training. So we went down and we did that, and she surprised us, and she had us ordained under John G. Lake Ministries in 2001, wintertime. So that was awesome. And we just kept working away. I was teaching. We just kept ministering as we could to anybody. We'd make sandwiches, and Ted would go around and feed the people on the streets because there was a soup kitchen, but it was pretty sad. And John, then we'd give food to John, and then John would go into the Muskeg, which was a part of the town of LaRange, where everybody hung out and drank and did drugs. And John would go there and minister to them and give them food. I need water. Where's Chad?
Here,
where? Oh, is it time? Okay, I'll hurry. I gotta have a drink. Hold on. Too much to say. Then I could feel the anointing lifting. God was calling me out of there, and I said, "Okay, Lord, where am I going?" He said, "You're going to university." And I go, "Oh, really? Okay, I don't want to go, but if you want me to go," I did not want to go back to school. But you know what? When that anointing comes to do that, you can. Because I said, "You've got to give me the anointing for this because I do not want to read anything worldly anymore. I'm sick of it." And the anointing came to do that thing, and I couldn't understand, why would you want me to do that? So I found a university, Lacombe. I went to Loma Linda University, moved here, spent 3 years there, graduated. We moved up north. We moved around quite a bit. And
It was a really dry time when I came to Alberta. The desert, I felt like I was on the backside of the desert. Just sitting in the back seat in church in the backside of the desert, no more involved in anything, and I felt no anointing to do anything. And I don't know. The anointing was for school at that time, so I just followed, I just went with it, right? You have to go with the cloud. The cloud took me there. I did what I was supposed to do. I'd go to work. I'd do my job. I did well. And through all of that, people are afraid of psychologists because that's what I am. Don't be afraid. Well, be afraid of some of them because some of them can be dangerous. Seriously. It's about the mind. And I could see how God wanted to heal people's minds. I could see the connections. I could, oh, awesome. I could see the Lord healing people on my caseload. It was wonderful. And this just happened over and over. And I'd get to minister to people. I'd just say, like, so, do you have any spirituality? believe in anything? You know, it's just really open-ended question. And then I'd have an opportunity. And I still do it now. I'm ministering every day in my work, whether anybody likes it or not, because I have to. I can't sit there and watch people die in front of me. I have to minister Jesus Christ. So that's what I do. And then when we came to Red Deer, you know, it was a dry time. It just felt dry. And we went to Chapters one night because we were bored. And I looked at this book and I said, oh, I bet you Ted will like that book. Joel Osteen. I said, here, Ted, go sit down and read that and tell me what you think of it. That's what I get. I get him to read books and then he tells you. Just give me the lowdown. Give me the skinny. And he goes, oh, this is so powerful. So we found him on YouTube and we started watching this man. And I'm like, I started to wake up. I felt like I was sort of asleep again. And I said, Lord, forgive me for not knowing you this way. Forgive me for not having that faith in you. And our lives started to rapidly change. I mean, rapidly change as we started just walking in faith and believing God and speaking faith and prophesying. I'll tell you, it was a total turnaround. And all along, we're here, we're looking for churches. Couldn't find one. And then I said, one last time, and some lady told me about this church. And I went, yeah, okay. And then I forgot about it, and I said to him one morning, when Sunday morning we're sitting there going, oh, where are we going to go now? I said, well, I'm not going back to that dead place over there. You can go. I'm not going with you, Ted. I'm done. I can't bear it anymore. I just cannot stomach stuff like that. I used to be able to put up with that, but I just don't do it anymore. And I said, there's one place. We're going to give it a shot here. We'll go see what we think of it. Okay? We'll know if God wants us to be there. We'll feel okay. So we came here. It was about 2.5 years ago. We're still here. I wonder why. Awesome, hey? The Lord is so good. He is so faithful. And I mean, we've heard that over and over again. Sounds cliche, doesn't it? But it's really not. Oh my goodness, this spring God did something to us. I don't know what he did to us, eh, Victoria? He wrecked us again. I'm telling you, I don't know if it's in springtime. Her and I started going for walks, and we'd be talking about the Lord, and we'd be praying. And I'm teaching her how to prophesy because she's got the gift, so I want her to prophesy. I want her to use that gift and not be hiding and cowering from man, because I did that. Most of my life, I was scared of people. I wouldn't dare open my mouth for fear of being made fun of in the congregation. But I don't care anymore. I just don't care. Victoria doesn't care anymore either. She's not scared, right, Vicky? So we decided one night, we didn't go for a walk, and I said, Victoria, I just need Jesus. I need something. So I found this song. I remember there was a young man here that gave his testimony, and he played a song, and that thing just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I said, Victoria, you remember that song? She goes, yeah, yeah. I said, find it. We got to listen to that. God is called. I feel the pull so strong of the Holy Spirit. I need to worship him right now.
And so we put this song on. And I'm telling you, 3 hours later, Ted comes home and he's looking at us going, what happened to you two? We were like wrecked. We were weeping. And I said, oh, Ted, now you got to listen to this. I'm just so, I'm undone for Jesus. And I haven't really been the same since. Praise God. The things of this world are so dim. In the light of his glory and his grace. That's an old song we used to sing. So I hope from my testimony that it will only encourage you to go run after him. Follow hard after the Lord. Just like a deer pants for the water. So your soul should be longing and hungering for him. And you know what? Look, I'll tell you, look out. And I'm not kidding you, look out, because he will blast you. He will glue you in your chair. Put a seatbelt on. I'm telling you, I would be sitting there and I'd grab the chair once in a while because I thought I was leaving the room. It was so amazing. And then I said, Lord, I just want to stay here. And he said, you know, you really can't. Because those are like those upper room experiences that you have. You can't always stay there. You got to go out and do the thing. And so I pray for every one of you that you all have an upper room experience. I have a song that I want to share with you that is just a precious song. A lady that used to sing with the Gaither, she's passed away now, but man, that lady loved Jesus, and you could hear it in the song. God bless all of you.
Alvin has a message that he's going to share. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, Father, I thank you for your words coming through Alvin's very lips today, your mind and your heart through his heart.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
That being said, just encourage you guys, hang in there, don't give up, press through, and if you need support, call up. Amen? Call up. Right? Thank you, Lord. So, Lord God, I just thank you for these, my brothers, my sisters. I appreciate each one, Lord God. Individually, Lord God, they're made in your image, Lord God. You have great plans for each one of them, Lord God. A destiny that only they can fulfill, Lord God. And this is what I want to pray for this morning, that they will rise up, Lord God. They will not sit down and be content with that, but they will rise up, Lord God, and claim the promises of God for their lives, their destiny, for their lives in Jesus' right name. And Lord God, they'll put the fight, the works of the enemy, the devices of the enemy, over their lives in Jesus' right name. And the word of God will become a lamp and a light unto their path. They will read it on a daily basis. They will commune with you on a daily basis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We do pray for our brother Stan and his wife, Pastor Stan Crystal, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God, that you would hover over them and hover over everyone in this situation. Just brood over them, Lord God. Out of this, Lord God, that your name is going to be glorified and honored. Hallelujah. In great glory, we're going to be Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God, brothers. Hallelujah. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May this week just be an awesome week in the presence of the living God. May protection, may the angels of God be all around you to protect you from the onslaught of the enemy.